Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Banjoist Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn have mastered the intricate art of the duet. Their performances embrace a diversity almost unthinkable coming from just two banjos and one voice. Fleck is a 15-time Grammy winner. He's collaborated with Chick Corea, Edgar Meyer, Dave Matthews, Earl Scruggs, and the entire Cleveland Orchestra for his banjo concert, The Imposter. Washburn's banjo has taken her far beyond the usual comfort zone, musically and geographically. An alum of Uncle Earl, the powerhouse all-female string band, Abby's adopted second homeland is China, and her music resounds with echoes of Appalachia and boasts a Chinese cultural influence as well. Together, Fleck and Washburn recently released a debut album. They will perform at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Friday, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hi.
Very nice to have you here. So you're give us a sense of where you are in this tour.
Well, we're in Rutland, Vermont, to be specific.
So geographically, but as far as dates go, are you in the middle of it? Are you just starting? Are you toward the tail end? Or are you always on tour?
Well, we did a little touring in September to sort of start things off, and then our album came out in early October, and now we're sort of on the real sort of meat of the tour, of this tour. It's about a 3-week tour, and we're less than a week into it, and we're going to be playing a lot of the big cities, the New Yorks and Bostons and DCs and those kinds of things. But I have to say, and I'm not pandering, Troy Savings Bank is one of the gigs that I've been really excited about playing with Abigail, because I've gotten to play there a number of times in the past, and it's one of those amazing rooms that I always am trying to figure out how to get into, and I'm looking forward to Abby seeing it.
Well, actually, the last time I did get to play there once, and it was opening for my musical hero, Doc Watson.
Oh, that's right.
And I have such fond memories of going backstage and getting to meet him for the first time, and just getting to sit there and listen to him play. I said, "Do you mind if I just listen to you play, sir?" He said, "Not a bit." He just started playing away. So I'm very eager to get back there and excited to be able to share the stage with Bela. I remember the sound of the hall is just stunning. So, and yeah, this is the middle of our big CD release tour. Our record came out October 7th, and we're excited to just share this banjo duo with people.
What has it been like to put that duo together? And, I mean, put together the list, put together the songs, understand how you work with each other, both on stage and in the recording studio.
Well, one of the big challenges we were facing when we were making the record, and also one of the reasons we were making the record, is that we have a baby, a little boy. I guess he's a toddler now. He's 17 months old. So when we were recording, we were doing it thinking, this is the time when we're going to perform together because we want our family to be together. And we thought it would really be sweet to get on a tour bus with just the two of us and maybe 8 or 9 banjos and our baby and a nanny and a sound man and go out on the road. If we weren't doing that, one or the other of us would be trying to figure out, you know, we'd be out touring separately, and that would be really hard with a little guy like this. So recording was interesting, trying to get Abby's focus.
You know, it's kind of hard when you have a new
sure.
baby, and we were nursing full time, and I don't know, a lot of people said, oh, it's easy to do stuff when you have a little baby, because they sleep a lot, right? But
right.
I was so tired from waking up through the night all night. So, yeah, I think we were able to find like 45 minutes to an hour, like twice a day, maybe 3 times a day for the first few months. And then And our studio happens to be in the basement, so that was really perfect. So I could just roll out of bed in my jammies and run downstairs while the baby was sleeping and come back up when he needed to nurse again. So that was kind of ideal, but it was also very tiresome and hard to pull off. But I have to say, it's such an incredible thing. It's such an incredible thing that we get to record together and tour as a family. We're just sort of pinching ourselves every day when we wake up and hear the sound of our little boy playing in his bunk on the bus, and we get to be with him, you know, through the day.
Does that intimacy and the fact that it is now kind of a family project, does it have an impact on the music itself? Not so much in the playing of it, but in the creation of it, in the writing and the style in which you're going toward.
Yeah, I mean, in every way, because the music is designed, we're designing the music to accommodate both of our abilities and what each of us do best, but also there is an intimacy and a naturalness to making music with your partner. And plenty of people said to me, oh, this is a bad idea. And I think it could have been a bad idea. I mean, it's so dependent on, you know, who a couple are and how they relate to each other, whether they should work together. But we've always just had a very easy time together, and it works.
And I think it translates to the show on stage, too. There's a certain intensity and intimacy to the music that we chose, because it's material that we hold really dear to our hearts, and we're waiting for the right project to share it with. And then there's also songs that we created together right on the either on the verge of or after having a little one, and that does make you think a lot about the big picture, the big cycles of life and death, and so we really hit on those big themes. And on stage, I would say that most people that we talk to after the show say that it just felt so comfortable and so natural and pleasant and personal. You know, I mean, Bill and I don't shy away from the fact that we're a married couple. In fact, we dive right into it and just, you know, unearth all the ridiculous and fun and, you know, at times, you know, trying parts of being a married couple and how that affects our collaboration. And I think in general, the audience really enjoys it because a lot of people have been married or are married and understand the trials and the joys of what it all means. So it feels really connected.
Is the conversation, and this may, if this is too much of a talk show question, I apologize. I try not to ask those, but every once in a while they slip in. So does the conversation, can you have a conversation musically in the sense of not just a typical duet musical conversation, but through playing and using that word in its broadest sense of playing, of play, that you are together while you are performing, that you're having a conversation with one another in a language that perhaps only the two of you understand?
Well, something I'll say is that Bale and I have commented to each other a number of times that when we get on stage, it's actually the probably the easiest part of our day. And I don't mean to make it sound like we aren't, you know, giving it our all up
right
there. It's just that these are skills that we've cultivated for a long, long time is playing music and being on stage, and it happens to work really well when we're together. And the rest of the day we spend trying to figure out how to be parents, which is a really different skill that we've cultivated on a tour bus that's moving and, you know, changing towns every day. So even though it's an immense joy to be with together as a family, there's a lot to figure out every day, and the music part is something that we just know so well deep inside. And so when we're up on stage, you know, there's just there's no falsity to the real energy that's coming from the stage of us being really glad to be there, and there's a conversation between us going on of ease and comfort and relaxation, actually, up on the stage that I think people do feel, but maybe they wouldn't know unless we told them.
Bela,
I might say that the conversation is one of the beautiful things about music, and I think it's become sort of prized in a lot of musics that it wasn't as much originally. And when you think about jazz musicians and what they're striving for now, it's not so much I want to be the soloist and you guys back me up. It's how can we respond to each other naturally throughout a solo, and Everyone is equal in the group, even when someone's soloing, the supporters are just as equal. And I think in our duo, there might be times when I'm improvising and Abby's doing the backbone of things, but her part is just as important as mine. Even though she might do more of the same thing from day to day that I do, it still is what gives me something to explore and work off of. And the way she sings also gives me a lot of energy. And, of course, the audience and the rooms we're in, there's a conversation that happens with those as well.
How do you characterize, Bela, the music on the new CD?
Well, it's really banjo music. it's one thing about it is that it's all banjos, but it's not the same banjos. And we even had an instrument built for this session. It's called a baritone banjo there, or we're calling it the missing link. But Abby's been playing cello banjos for a while, and so have I. And we also have a ukulele banjo that we use on one song. So the upshot is that we end up with instruments in different registers rather than two banjos that are both in the same register, sort of plucking and claw hammering away. We're looking for texture and variety within the two instruments, everything we can think of to do with the two of us. But also, it's very song-oriented music, and that's something that I don't get to do very often because I'm always playing instrumental music, and usually fairly heady instrumental music. So there's a directness to this music because that's one of Abby's talents, is really reaching directly out to people and connecting with them emotionally. And so some of the songs are kind of heavy songs, and I love getting to play music that has those kinds of feelings. And I get to think about playing with mood and with space, maybe because there are no other soloists. There's a lot of room for me to paint the songs differently and respond to the energy that's, required, that's embedded in those songs. Abby wanted to make it clear that she does solo on one song. In fact, that was a song called New South Africa, which I insisted that she solo on because I thought it would really seem piggy if we played my instrumental and then I played all the solos and she just played backup, and so she bent eventually, but insisted that I sing some harmony on some songs to even things out, and so I was uncomfortable as well.
So you have a nice balance now. You're happy with the balance.
Yeah, well, it's good for our relationship.
Excellent. Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn will perform at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Friday, October 24th at 8 o'clock. To learn more, you can visit troymusichall.org, troymusichall.org. Bela Fleck, Abigail Washburn, the new CD is out. Thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to having you in Troy tomorrow night.
We are looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
To see a bunch of folks there.
Great pleasure.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Again, more information at troymusichall.org. troymusichall.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.